Right. A very good morning to you and all the Eagle FM listeners listening to me right now. Thank you so much for joining us and always choosing us. The time is 4 minutes in the half 6 o'clock, and today is the 20th of May, 2025, on a Thursday. Thank you so much. Sorry. And a Tuesday. Thank you so much for really, really joining me. And this is Early Morning Scoop. This is a show where, we speak about the economic news, or giving you economic news, entrepreneurship, trade, that what we give you until the hour of 7:30, and I'm your host, Lois Ashimi. I'll be with you and to give you the very usual update, that is entrepreneurship, trade, economic news, that's what I'm giving you until the hour of 7:30. And before I give you that, please do not forget to connect with us on our social media platform, Eagle FM Namibia, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn, as well as the Villa Newspaper page on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Do not also forget to subscribe to our WhatsApp channel, that is Eagle FM Media House, just for you to catch up the daily news update and, of course, the newspaper alerts. And do not forget to download Eagle FM app, available on Google Play Store and the App Store, just to stay informed wherever you are, wherever you go. You can able to listen or to tune into Eagle FM. And of course, you can able also to listen to the past shows. Once, if you miss out your favorite shows, you can able to listen to all the show. We have all the podcasts lined up for you, just to go there and listen. Now, to start off, I'm going to start off with international news. This destructive tuta pest, otherwise known as a tomato Ebola, is ravaging tomato farms in food basket like Kano and Kaduna, with the devastation. Nigeria's Africans, a second largest tomato producer, now faces a severe agricultural crisis. Now, the government is, however, deploying emergency measures, including pesticide distribution and farmer training, to curb the outbreak. We might take a lesson.
Produce in Nigeria, they're a major source of income for farmers and traders alike. But a new wave of infestation by the tomato leaf miner is wreaking havoc. Nigeria's agriculture ministry estimates the losses at about $838,000. Tomato trader Aliu Magaji says the impact on his business has been severe.
Before, the big basket of tomatoes didn't cost more than 15,000 to 20,000 naira, but now we purchase for as much as 80,000 to 90,000 naira for the same measure.
And it's not just traders feeling the pinch. Shoppers like Barbara Ura are also dealing with rising prices.
I can't even buy a full basket of tomato. What I can afford now is half, because I'm spending like two times what I could buy with the full basket.
Nigeria produces about 1.8 million metric tons of tomatoes annually. But with demand at over 2.3 million and expected to hit 2.7 million by 2026, the gap is only widening. What's worse, about 40% of harvested tomatoes go to waste due to poor storage. Now the return of Tuta Absoluta pest is compounding the crisis, especially in three major tomato-producing states where the bulk of the losses have been recorded.
Their reproductive system is not like the normal ones. It multiplies fast. The farmers should always ensure that they maintain clean environment. They should always ensure that they do crop rotation. They should always plant resistant varieties, because there are some varieties of seeds that are actually resistant to some of these virus.
This latest outbreak comes as Nigeria continues to grapple with worsening food insecurity. Analysts warn that if swift action isn't taken, the pest could drive even more people into economic distress.
All right, there you have it. Now, to move on, in Rwanda, is that the Rwanda Mines Petroleum and Gas Board has launched a mining investment pitch book showcasing 10 mining blocks primed for immediate mineral extraction. Those blocks, rich in rare minerals like tantalum and lithium, now comes with detailed geological data to attract responsible investors. We might take a lesson.
Resources regulator has highlighted investment opportunities in the country through a special initiative. The mining investment pitch book produced by the Rwanda Mines, Petroleum and Gas Board highlights several locations with potential for rare minerals extraction. The minerals are said to be crucial for the development of modern technologies and renewable energy. Our correspondent Ethan Tashobia visited one of the listed areas and files the following report.
Musenyi Mine in Bujesera District, rich in cassiterite and coltan, has been inactive for 5 years following the death of its previous proprietor. During this period, authorities have actively prevented illegal mining activities at the site. Recently, a mine collapse among the 10 newly published mining blocks resulted in fatalities among illegal miners.
We just found this here, an evidence that illegal mining is actually ongoing. And I saw some people, when we arrived in here, we saw some people mining here. An evidence that illegal mining activities are ongoing in this mine here.
Njezebuhoro Jean-Baptiste, a resident of this neighborhood, previously worked here with a former investor and has a deep understanding of the mineral resources beneath the ground.
This site has two mining blocks stretched over 1,000 hectares. It is very rich in coltan and tin. In a week, we could extract about 5 tons of coltan and 7 tons of cassiterite from here. It has a lot of potential if well managed.
Rwanda's mining sector has faced challenges with unauthorized operations, prompting mining authorities to intensify exploration efforts while also enforcing the law against such activities to improve efficiency.
With ongoing exploration, complementary with historical data, and then with ongoing mining operation, we have been able to demarcate these 10 blocks so they can be able to attract investment. That's how we come up with these 10 blocks. It's an ongoing process. Very soon we'll continue also getting more blocks as we do explorations.
Musenyi Mine, spanning over 1,000 hectares, is one of the 10 ready-to-invest mining blocks featured in the latest Rwanda Mining Investment Pitch Book by Rwanda Mining and Petroleum Board. Most of the blocks, located in the eastern province, contain rare minerals like coltan, tin, tantalum and tungsten. Field visits are planned for the late May and early June, with interest already shown by investors from China and the United States of America.
It's always open for different investors from different countries, but it doesn't limit from the US and the China, as also getting, we got the interest in the past, so we hope they may come and join the industry.
Rwanda's mineral export revenues rose to over $1.1 billion in 2023, up from $772 million in 2022, according to the Rwanda Mining Board. The inclusion of Musenyi Mine in the latest investment pitch book of 10 new blocks supports the country's plan to grow mineral export revenues to $2.17 billion by 2029.
All right, there you have it. The time is 13 minutes in the hour, 6 o'clock, and this is Early Morning Scoop. Now to move on to Somalia, is that security analyst are raising alarm over persistent instability in Somalia, now exhibited by the recent U.S. funding cut. An expert recommend that Somalia boosted its security infrastructure, including intelligence and local policing, while seeking support from non-traditional donors to stabilize the country. We might take a lesson.
The African Union Support and Stabilization Mission in Somalia replaced the previous AU mission Artemis in January. But less than 5 months in, the mission faces a staggering funding gap. For many security experts, such a problem was inevitable.
I think, you know, this is the century where the, you know, African countries have to look inwards. You know, they have to, you know, get to the reality that you know, there is no one, country that is going to support you more than you can support yourself.
According to the International Crisis Group, the AUSSOM annual funding stands at over $165 million. The African Union covers a quarter of its cost, in which the AU Peace Fund puts forward about $10 million. The remainder comes from UN-assessed contributions from member states.
However, $96 million is still owed to AU member states that previously deployed forces in Somalia. Last month, Washington rejected appeals to contribute funding to the mission, citing concerns over inefficiencies and lack of burden sharing among international partners. The U.S. Senate's Awesome Funding Restriction Act aims to block American contributions, with lawmakers arguing the mission locks the U.S. into perpetual funding. As the funding gap widens, analysts warn Al-Shabaab could exploit the chaos.
We are not just looking at the possible increase in the level of threat that Al-Shabaab poses to the internal security and stability of Somalia, but also the potential that, you know, such a threat, you know, could spill over to regional countries.
In the past couple of years, the Horn of Africa country has been making solid strides in reintegrating back into Africa and the world after decades of isolation. It recently joined the East African Community and has returned to the UN Security Council this year, its first time since the 1970s.
Now to move on to Zambia is that the Foreign Affairs Minister Murambo Haimbe says the Zambia's U.S. relations remain intact despite the withdrawal of 1.4 billion Kwacha medical aid. Now Haimbe says the relation between the two countries are not strained as they remain long-standing and go beyond the health sector. Now he says it is clear, as can also be seen with by the investments in all the sector, such as Ribito and Gobert, mains among other. We might take a listen.
The relations between Zambia and the U.S. are first long. They are broad. They go beyond this particular aspect. And I would say that they quite strong and continue to strengthen. I gave you examples of the investment by a U.S. Corporate citizen, Cobalt, in this country. I gave you an example of the Lobito Corridor work that continues to be done in terms of the project and how the U.S. is leading that. Yes, it is an important aspect to the U.S. that we as their partner address this important issue, especially that the U.S. citizens invested so much in this country. So we, of course, would be concerned that we cannot leave our partners to feel let down. And it becomes important that we do so. And in addressing this matter, and ensuring that we deal once and for all with these challenges in the health sector, we'll be further strengthening the relationship. I do not see that it's a scar. I see that it is an eye-opener for us all in terms of ensuring that not only the U.S., our cooperating partners that have helped us for so many years, they're satisfied with how we attend.
All right, there you had it. The time is 17 minutes in the hour, 6 o'clock, and this is early morning scoop. Now, staying in Zambia, is that the water level in the Kariba Dam has continued rising. Now, Senior Power Station Manager at Kariba North Bank Power Station, Christoph Siwongo, says currently the level is at 477.96 billion cubic meters above the sea level from 477.40 billion cubic meters in 2024. We might take a lesson.
The water levels at the Kariba Dam have steadily been increasing. This was reviewed during a tour of the Kariba North Bank Power Station and the Kariba Dam by the media and stakeholders. Kariba North Bank Power Station Manager Christopher Singongo said if the water levels continue to rise, load shedding may reduce by July this year.
We are talking of maybe July, because we know June, ZRIA will be able to communicate with us. So starting July, August, we may see maybe a reduction in the numbers of hours that we load shed.
During the tour, Head of Operations at Kariba North Bank, Sydney Kangwa, explained that 3 out of 6 machines are operating at the power station due to low water levels.
But the hot plant, which is from unit 1 up to 4, and then we've got extension that was done also. Also, the two units are also rated at 180 megawatts each, bringing the total capacity of the station to 1,080 megawatts.
And Zambezi River Authority Public Relations and Communications Manager Selusiwe Moyo said the authority's focus is to increase water storage capacity.
It is in our best interest to try as much as possible to be as close as possible to that level. It's not within our control, but we do the best we can to ensure that at any point we do not reach what we call the minimum operating level, or what was called the drawdown level.
And stakeholders gave their reactions.
I find that it's a good initiative that ZESCO is doing, bringing stakeholders together, all sorts of stakeholders, to understand where we are. Because the expectation from manufacturers as well as the rest of the public is that we saw the rainfall and we expect that there is increase in the water levels.
So we're here at Kariba Dam where we've been taken through a tour. And I think the major takeaway is that the water levels are increasing. And how do we feel about that? Clearly, we're happy about the water levels increasing.
Doreen Chembe.
Right there, you have it. The time is 20 minutes in the hour, 6 o'clock, and this early morning scoop. Now, to move on to the another item, is that over a dozen peacekeeping operations led by the African forces and supported by the United Nations are active across Africa in 2025. Now, with mandates ranging from civilian protection to supporting post-conflict governance, we might take a listen to this.
Nations peacekeeping operations, there are several African-led missions across the continent. Most recently, the African Union Support and Stabilization Mission in Somalia began its mandate in January 2025. It is mandated by the UN Security Council to deploy up to 11,000 uniformed personnel with troops from Uganda, Ethiopia, Djibouti, Kenya and Egypt. In 2022, the East African Community deployed a regional force to the Eastern DRC to help restore peace and stability as M23 rebels battled government forces. Troops were drawn from Kenya, Uganda, and Burundi. But the regional bloc withdrew its forces a year later after its mandate was not renewed by Kinshasa. They were replaced by troops from the Southern African Development Community in December 2023. However, following the deaths of several soldiers, the bloc has begun withdrawing its forces. In Mozambique, Rwanda has about 1,000 troops deployed to the Cabo Delgado province in July 2021 to help combat terrorism and restore peace. It was joined by the Southern African Development Community Mission in Mozambique, known as SADMIM, with troops drawn from South Africa, Tanzania and Malawi, among others. Now, the United Nations currently has 5 peacekeeping missions in Africa. The largest of these deployments is the United Nations mission in South Sudan, known by its acronym UNMISS.
All right, there you have it. Now, to move to Algeria, is that the Nigerian innovation has created a natural natural mineral rich fertilizer to improve plant health and protect the environment. Now, after 5 years of testing, the liquid compound has shown promising results, and the investor hopes to introduce the sustainable solution to more farming communities. We might take a lesson.
Bomadine Maklofi, a fertilizer that could revolutionize farming in Algeria, is being perfected. Maklofi, an agronomist with deep rural roots, is determined to provide farmers with a natural fertilizer that not only boosts yields but also restores the land's vitality.
The fertilizer resonated greatly with many Algerian farmers after testing it for 5 years and yielded great and very encouraging results. The innovation comes in the form of a liquid compound of some minerals found in the earth, such as calcium and sodium, and others such as glucose, which is actually energy. I also based the innovation on light energy. All of these things strengthen the plant's immune system and enable it to resist diseases.
The impact of this innovation is visible not only in the laboratory where Maklofi is often seen examining plants and mentoring students, but also in the fields of Benhar in northern Algeria. Farmers say they have witnessed a transformation.
I plant olive trees and apple trees in addition to other crops. I tried this natural fertilizer and it was like a miracle because the production became abundant and the plants and trees became stronger. I did not find any diseases at all. Frankly, and in short, I no longer need chemical fertilizer at all.
I can say that since we started using this biosmart fertilizer, the symptoms of the diseases that we had before, such as yellowing of the trees and decreased production, have completely disappeared. Since we have been using the product for more than 4 years, things have been fine. And even more than that, the olive oil from our region has won international awards in Switzerland and Tunisia. And we are currently thinking of building our own olive press.
Global.
All right, there you have it. Lastly, on the international segment is that the President Cyril Ramaphosa has arrived in Washington ahead of his meeting with President Donald Trump on Wednesday. Now, this meeting is aimed at resetting strategic relations with Washington after they broke down earlier this year when Trump took office. We're going to take a lesson.
When he said that they're not intending to spend a lot of time dealing with the dispelling of this narrative of a persecution, but saying that they have other priorities for this visit. Talk to us about those highlights and what else you've seen since that arrival.
Absolutely, my lady. I mean, and I think many would agree with Magwenya that there's absolutely no need to actually spend time dispelling those rumors, given the fact that, as one person said, and in fact it was Clayson Mangiela who said, the truth is stubborn, it's there. You can't deny it. What they'll be focusing on is the resetting of these bilateral relations, and that's why trade will become important. So, Magwenya, not concerned that they'll be subjected to any form of humiliation, and that they will have a productive meeting with Trump. The president, as I speak to you right now, is in a meeting, you know, with his advance team and the officials that are already here. I bumped into Pak Stau just inside the hotel. He's also just arrived, you know, not long before the president. He's the one who actually received the president. And he is also going to be a critical component when discussing then some of the deals, wanting to extend a Goa, and even if then it's not under the banner or the auspices of Goa, some kind of continuation of the trade deals that are already in place between South Africa and the United States. And so in that regard, it would seem that trade is going to be key. But, you know, of course, the optics and what could be on the horizon is something that we've all been talking about over the last couple of days. I want us to listen into what Vincent Magwenya said when he was asked about whether or not they anticipate any kind of humiliation being meted out at the hands of Trump to our president, given the fact that the same happened to Zelensky, and he too had also been invited to the Oval Office.
The president is prepared for the moment, he's looking forward to it, he's highly enthused, and we're looking forward to a very successful meeting aimed at resetting the relationship between South Africa and the United States.
What do you think it will take for the South African government to dispel the falsehoods and to reset this relationship, as you've consistently said, the strategy, tactics as you enter this meeting?
The whole world knows there is no such as a persecution of any particular race in South Africa. So we don't need to spend any effort dispelling something that is well known that is not there.
So if you're not wasting your time on that, what are you going to be spending your efforts on?
We'll be focusing on opportunities that will underpin this resetting of the relationship. And we're looking forward to ironing out whatever issues of concern that there may be.
So by and large, an economic discussion expected to take place. And there's also been lots to talk about in relation to how the president has prepared for this moment. Vincent Magwenya saying that he's not nervous at all. Listen to this.
No, he's not apprehensive at all. We don't think President Trump invited President Ramaphosa for that kind of treatment. There are issues of concern on the side of the U.S. and on our side as well. It is possible that those issues may trigger a rather robust discussion. That's all in the nature of these engagements. But we believe that the kind of courtesy that we are accustomed to, that heads of states extend to one another, will be in full display. No, the issues are different. President Ramaphosa is not President Zelensky. He's got his own style of engaging. He's got his own style of communicating. And so...
Right, that marks the last update of from the international side of it. Thank you so much for that, or listening, actually. So we can take a very short commercial break, and then once we return, we'll take you through the local news update. Do not go away.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before. Like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHB on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna e Matina Omjo. Chikao Shafata Nana Nongishifa ya Shuike Moshiwana. Iya Moyawo or Tango Tisamweni. Ana Geshifa Iya Namibia on the Jombanawa Orangika. Seithanina Omeakuro Nirandi Toma Iwe, Yongeshifa Yokupitira mo Ikelefem Media House. Ngwe 20 memeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi paregi wimopo yo mo programa detu. Moambo lengera sama odara heta timu datunda tu khari khamano tano o aniaj Eagle FM for us.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So,
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament.
All right, the time is 32 minutes in the after 6 o'clock, and this is Early Mornings Cube. Thank you so much for joining us. If you just joined us, thank you so much, and welcome to the Early Mornings Cube. This is a show where we give you the internet, rather the entrepreneurship content. We'll give you the economic update. We'll give you entrepreneurship what we give you here until the of 7:30. Now, to start off, is that a time released? Release study co-carried out with the trust or at the trust Kalahari Border Post has revealed that it takes about five hours to clear imported goods and 4 hours to clear goods for export. Now the TRS conducted from 15 to 25 January 2024 aimed to identify trade bottlenecks and establish baseline clearance times for people and goods. Now, a summary of the outcome was presented in the NAMRA newsletter for May 2025. Now, the study revealed several delays throughout the import and export processes. Notably, the study found that the average time taken to clear imported goods at the border from the time a truck arrives at the entry gate at the border to time it exists at the exit gate is 5 hours and 31 minutes. Now, this constitutes delays in the delivery of goods to their destination in Namibia, but also put pressure on transportation companies to deliver the goods to the clients. Now, the delay is not only affecting the goods being imported into Namibia, but also the delay also on the import side when Namibia enterprises are transporting their goods to clients outside Namibia. Now, according to the TLS finding, the average time taken to clear goods for export through the Traskarari border. From the time a truck arrives at the border at the entry gate to the time the truck is released at the exit gate is 4 hours and 34 minutes. Now, the efficiency of the Traskarari border post is critical because most of Namibia's goods are sold in the region. Now, the South African Customs Union, SACU, emerged as the biggest export destination for Namibian goods during March 2025 with a share of 38.5% of total export. Now, while SADC, including SACU and the common market for Eastern and Southern African, that's COMESA, respectively, occupied the fourth and fifth position, accounting for 18.5% and 17.5% of total export. Now, the report has also highlighted that there are more issues that are causing delays at the Traskarahari border post. Now, infrastructure was found to be one where unpaved road and the poor location of skimmers created bottlenecks. The current ASA QDA selectively performed was also found to be inconsistent with red line entries clearing faster than green or yellow, undermining risk-based processing. Now, as for the sensitive goods like fuel and medicaments, it has been found that they experience clear lines times that exceeded safe thresholds. Now, the report recommended various interventions to be addressed by NAMRA. Now, the first recommendation is to empower clearance agents to fully process declaration, including assessment and payment. Now, the revenue agency was also told to implement pre-clearance procedures through a dedicated document processing center, moreover, to integrate all border agencies via the electronic single window system linked to SACUDA. Now, the report has also recommended that NAMRA should strengthen risk management capacity and establish a centralized selectively support function. At the same time, a well-resourced post-clearance audit unit must be established. That is also recommended that the border post administrator redesigned a border infrastructure to include separate lines for scanning and exit, and relocate also scanners to avoid traffic overlap. Now, according to the report, a recommended intervention aimed to reduce clearance time, enhance compliance, and reinforce Namibia's vision to be a regional logistics hub. NAMRA, in their response, it indicated committed to implement the recommendation to drive broader efficiency and support national and regional trade goals. Our next item on Friday was the harvesting time for the learners at the Mandume Ndemfayo Primary School in the Ohangwena region. Now, joining us today, this morning, is Mr. Moses Theophilus, the agriculture teacher at the Mandume Ndemfayo Primary School. A very good morning to you, sir, and welcome to the Early Morning Scoop.
Good morning, ma'am, and good morning to listeners.
We are doing great.
Thank you very much.
Yes, Mr. Theophilus, speak to us. Could you please maybe tell us about the harvesting process with your students, and of course, what crops are you harvesting?
Thank you very much. As probably we spoke some months ago, when we were busy cultivating and sowing the seeds for different types of crops. This come a time now when we have done our homework, and some of the fruits or vegetables are ready for harvest. Friday we just harvested spinach, which we felt it was too up and proper ready, and it was a bumper harvest. I'm telling you, kids were enjoying it, and to make it more interesting, is that just immediately after harvesting, the whole consignment was sold out.
Okay.
The whole consignment was sold out by teachers. Everybody was flocking. Everybody was running to the gardens and said, "No, we have to buy this one out, and so that at least the school can be able to go and buy seeds again." By this time I did not have the correct figure of how much we made through the sale, but I can confirm that it was a bamba harvest. What we have, which is ready now in our garden, we have got maize will be harvested next week.
Okay.
And we also have got carrots that will also be harvested next week. So it will be another bamba harvest.
All right. Now, speaking about the bamba harvest that you just have this year, where do you maybe plan to sell the harvested produce? How do you maybe plan to use the money apart from getting the seeds and also replanting again?
As we said last time that we have got our fence which is a little bit getting old. What we will do is after harvesting like next week, definitely the portion of the money we will take it to go and buy the fence so that at least the mesh wire, at least so that we can fix our fence.
Okay.
We have to go and buy the mesh wire, and we will fix the fence where we feel it's a little bit getting old, because we don't want when we are leaving for holiday, then goats and other animals will come and tamper with our vegetables, because we know again just immediately after harvesting we are going to sow again for when we are coming back from the holiday, then we will start at least taking care of it until the harvest again.
In a year, how many times do you plant, or how many times do you harvest?
Oh, it depends on the type of crop that we have grown that time, but we always harvest more than 5 times.
Okay, like for what specific produce?
Like spinach and then carrots, it's always faster. Yeah, spinach, carrots, and the maize. Those are fastest ones. We can, and they are only depending on the type of soil again that we have, and whether you normally take care of it when it's coming to watering. But if they are being watered properly, they have got the proper type of soil, harvest is all over every time.
And maybe also the audience might also love to know whether the kids are also getting something, because I see the kids really getting busy in the garden.
Yes, what we normally do is by this time, like for spinach, we only get what they normally do is that this is one of the experience that they are gaining. So it's very important for kids to know what to be done when their vegetables are ready. So that is one of the most important things, because they have to get that experience. But then they will enjoy it more when we are harvesting carrots, because when we are harvesting carrots, everybody will eat. Everybody will get a portion of the vegetables.
All right. Yeah, but maybe could you just share maybe an estimated amount that you might guys get?
I think we will go as far as 5,000 by this time.
Okay.
We will reach 5,000 or even more. Because looking at even what happened today, we might already have 1,000 something. Yeah, it's only that I don't have a correct figure by now. But we might have already 1,000 something. But I'm sure the $5,000 or $6,000 we will get.
Also, did you encounter any challenges during the growing period? Take us through that journey.
Sure, my dear. It's always difficult. You see, one of the biggest challenges that we had it's too much rain. You see, when it was too much rain, then there are some of the vegetables that are not favorable with more water.
Okay.
So it was really hectic. There is nothing that you can do. It's nature. But looking at the pests, this time around we did not encounter any pests that have destroyed our vegetables, and that's why we think thank you. We did not much. The only problem probably is, mm-hmm. is just weed that we have already prepared for it.
Okay.
Weed is always disturbing, and we are always controlling it. That is. But looking at honestly, if there could be no heavy rain every now and then,
mm-hmm.
then the harvest that we could have by now is a lot.
Okay.
But then most of the vegetables were destroyed by rain, as you know, it was really heavy rain always and every day.
Mm.
One of the things that I'm looking at is we want at least our sister schools to follow suit, at least to make sure that kids are being taught how to produce food for themselves and mm-hmm. their family, and they only have to do it from schools. And at the same time, schools that also would love to have gardens, and probably they don't have a know-how, how should they go about it? We are flexible. They can contact us, and we can help them out. That is why we are there, and we are ready to help all the schools out.
Mm-hmm.
On the public, we really need a lot of assistance, because like on our tomatoes now, they are struggling a little bit because of sometimes the scorch heat of the sun. So we are looking at if a shade net. And probably to the government, we would love to at least, or even the business personnel, if we can have more two extra water tanks that we can have to spare water,
mm-hmm.
then that will be the bonus to us.
Okay.
And probably if we can get a very big sponsor where we can have water tank at every corner of the class, then when rain comes, then we don't have any problem. We can definitely harvest that water from our classes. That will be one of the good things that we will have. But also, if they say probably like our neighbors, if they could also give us a lens that we can work on, then we are ready to produce enough.
Or to expand. So you'll also want to expand.
Yeah, we want to expand the garden, but the problem is that
mm-hmm.
our land is limited.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Moses, for having you today.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
All right. Yeah, on our next item, the Namibian Economic Board has committed to investing approximately $250 million over the next 5 years to develop the country's crop value chain. Now, this project will include the cultivation of citrus varieties. Now, on this, we will be speaking to Emily Abraham from the Namibian Economic Board just to unpack this for us. A very good morning to you, Emily, and welcome to the Early Morning Scoop.
Good morning to you, Lois, and thank you for having me this morning.
Thank you so much, Ms. Emily. You're welcome.
Yes.
Yeah, we have learned that citrus lengths are third among the most consumed crops in the country. Maybe what steps can Namibia take to improve this sector, just to reduce the importation? And of course, why is there currently low local production of citrus?
Yes, thank you very much. That's a very important question to start with. Maybe just to start introducing to you quickly to give you a small overview on the Namibian citrus industry.
Mm-hmm.
Is to say it's a very small industry that is just upcoming.
Okay.
And if you look at the Namibian demand in terms of citrus, it's quite very huge, although not huger because our population is also smaller,
mm-hmm.
but it's huge such that the production, the local production is not meeting the demand, the local demand.
Okay.
And if you look at now the mostly consumed fruits in Namibia, you have your top three,
mm-hmm.
which is basically your apples, and then you have the apples normally representing 34%, and then bananas, your 21%, and your fruit, actually your citrus now, is the one that is fed representing 20%. So normally we call them a sister fruit. Because you find that in every household, you will not at least, I mean, you will find that they're weak. If you don't have an apple, you have an orange, or if you don't have an orange, then you make sure that you get a banana. So these are the common foods that we consume in Namibian household, and hence it's imperative that our producers or any investor that would want to start producing food, I think this is a huge opportunity for us to tackle, because we're currently really importing a lot of citrus as compared to what we are able to produce. And if you look at the forecast for this year alone, you see that we are standing at 1,783 tons. And a lot of farmers, they already started producing and harvesting, and some of them, they are currently harvesting. But if you look at the demand, you see that it's more than 8,000. Already, in terms of local demand, we are not meeting the demand, and that already on its own explains how seriously this citrus need intervention. Mm-hmm. And hence, with the money that we just spoke about, which is allocated to the whole sector, I think it's also high time that we then need to take advantage of a portion from that money so that we develop this sector. Come to the areas that need to be improved. If you look at the quality standards, it's already in place.
Okay.
To say for you to align yourself to the quality standard, it's already in place. I think the Namibian Agronomy Board did its job. And if you look at now other challenges that has to do with the phytosanitaries, I think it's something that we need also to address in collaboration with the Ministry of Agriculture, Plant Health, and also the private sector. We need to come together so that we see that we address the phytosanitary issue. But as we speak, I think Namibia is not too bad, because the country actually is not known for so many diseases. But then we need to protect it. We need to protect it from a pest. We need to protect it from diseases. And this has to start with the planting material that we are sourcing from other countries. So we have to make sure that whether it's farmers, it should be our obligation that when we are sourcing the trees, we must always liaise with our plant health division to understand and get advice whether the area where we are getting the fruit trees, they are really safer for us to be able to import trees there. Otherwise, if we are importing haphazardly from anywhere without even doing our due diligence, we will end up, while we are developing the industry, on the other side we are bringing in diseased plants, and eventually to catch up with us, because otherwise then you'll have outbreak of diseases that the exporting market might even say that, no, if you have this disease, we are not going to be able to take your oranges. So we need really to open up our eyes and make sure that we are very observant as to where we are getting our planting material. Yes. And then the other thing is just education and awareness.
Okay.
If you look at the number of farmers that are participating in this sector currently, they are just 35.
Okay.
One will ask to say, this is a sector that we really need to attract more farmers. Mm. So something that we need to improve on awareness, and I think I want to thank Eagle FM already, because this is actually a type of awareness that you are creating to the farmers.
Mm.
So we need to produce oranges. Although then oranges, they are in different categories. You will find that we have mandarins, which is a soft citrus.
Okay.
This is a type of citrus that is actually classified as one, easy to peel. Some of them, they call it easy peeler, because you can basically peel it with easiness, and it's also sweeter. So if you look at the export market, they demand mainly the soft citrus. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Even when you look at the citrus that was exported last year, you see that the majority of the fruit orange states that we exported the citrus, representing 83%. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So while if you look at now the local consumed orange state, you see that the orange, Navo orange, was the one that was heavily consumed locally. So it is a matter of knowing what type of citrus to grow from the beginning and for which market.
Mm-hmm.
Because the cultivar choice determines where a farmer will sell at the end of the day. That is very important. Mandarins, also again coming to the table of the orange citrus, you find that mandarin against the citrus, they have also a different types of group again. You have tangerine, you have clementine, you have tassuna, you have tangelos, you have naukis. Again, it's always good again to understand clearly the market that you are targeting, what type of soft citrus they love most. Okay? And if you look at, for example, a lot of A lot of countries are producing citrus, but we have one comparative advantage of coming in early in the market.
Mm.
6 weeks ahead of our competitors. And that's already imperative that at least we need to take advantage of this. We have an opportunity. The demand is there. Mm. We are coming in early before everybody's harvesting. We are already in. So this is something already, at least before they start harvesting, we have almost a month and 2 weeks, we can already start to flood their market with our citrus. So what I'm trying to say is that we have a lot of opportunities ahead of us, and all what we need is just to position ourselves, farmers, to start planting the correct variety that is required for a specific market that we are targeting.
Okay.
And the other thing also, when it comes to our small-scale farmers, I want to advise that they must not just buy any planting material they find on the roadside.
Mm.
They need to understand the variety of that plant, and they must also source from the reputable source. Because it's not just about a citrus plant. It is about the outcome, the fruit that will be expected to harvest and sell. So we notice that a lot of farmers, they are picking from anywhere, and then they will struggle later to even express themselves to tell you to say, this is the type of variety that I have. Because the market, even when you are facilitating the market domestically, you find that the market will ask Emily, what type of orange Lois has?
Mm.
So sometimes you are struggling. Also, you go back to the farmer is also saying, I don't know. So please make our work easier so that we make work easier for you. And hence, please plant the correct trees. And the other thing also, that the way you put it to say there is money that we are targeting to invest or that is put in place or budgeted for the sector. So we are looking at also things like subsidy to subsidize planting materials, high quality planting materials for farmers. So we are still busy in pipeline to develop modalities on how to go about it, at least to target key four fruit trees that we see that they are highly demanded and they have the huge potential. And I think once these modalities are finalized, we are going to come again back to the community and create awareness on how the farmers can access this subsidy. So I think with the subsidization and also to call other sectors actually to come on board, because I know the ministry is doing some subsidy.
Okay.
We also have to come in. Someone, again, can also come in with subsidy such that we target different aspects of production, because you'll have your input side. There's also planting material. If NAB is targeting on planting material, somebody can subsidize heavily on fertilizer. And this will also put Namibian producer at a good competitive advantage, because we'll be able to compete globally, because at least the production cost is also subsidized.
All right. Emily, just lastly, or before we go, we let you go, how far along is the countries in terms of adding value citrus crops?
I think that is a point that you, what you mentioned, I think it's very, very important that we need to consider it as local investors.
Okay.
Because we currently have a gap.
Mm.
We have a missing link, which is agro-processing. And I always tell people to say, where you find grade A, whether it's a fruit, whether it's a vegetable, you always find grade B and you find grade C. And what happens to grade B and grade C?
Mm.
Value addition need to come in the picture. And that is why we need already to start planning and contemplating how should we go about at least to position ourselves when we are going to come in. Because if you look at the number of trees, Lois, that we are going to have after 5 years, you see that the number of, I mean, we are going to have at least a good harvest, God willing. And this is now, for us now, we also need to put everything in place. Let us have all the tools in the toolbox such that when now our farmers are in and the grade 2 and the grade 3 cannot go to the shelf, then we can then add value. We need to make our own juice. We can't waste oranges while we are importing juice. If we are to strengthen the local, I mean, to strengthen and develop the Namibian economy, I think we need to own the whole value chain such that we are producing our own citrus, we are adding value on our own citrus, and also export to other countries, whether in the form of a table orange or whether in the form of fruit, I mean, or fruit juice.
Mm.
I think that is something that is a strategy that we need to enhance. And if you look at, to say, crop development strategy, the way the allocation of that fund is designed is such that we want to make sure that we finance all the value chain agents or value chain actors. Whether you are a processor, whether you are a trader, whether you are a producer, we want to see how best we can basically assist you, or how best, whether it's in capacity building, whether it can be in the form of subsidy. So the fund is designed such that we want to develop this sector such that everybody, all the role players, they can actually benefit from this fund and be able to. Please, if you are listening, you are a farmer, or you have a friend who is a farmer, or you are planning to do farming, farming is not a wrong choice, especially for trees. The only way for us to create generational wealth, I think, is for you to plant the tree. And it's always said that you don't plant for you to harvest that tree. Sometimes we plant for others to reap. And that's why let us invest in fruit production, particularly citrus, because the demand is already there. We must not worry. It's local, whether it's export. The opportunities are actually a lot. Mm-hmm. And hence, let us do.
We might hold on to this one just to quickly pay the bills.
This Africa Day, ShopRite is bringing you the lowest prices to celebrate. Save with great deals on all your local favorites and more, like 2-liter Pepsi, Mirinda, Mountain Dew or 7-Up soft drinks. 3 for only 35 Namibian dollars. And 4 kg Real Good Chicken IQF mixed portions for just 178 Namibian dollars 99. Celebrate Africa Day with these massive savings. Valid till 25 May 2025. Only at ShopRite. Lower prices you can trust. Always.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM.
Everybody, all the role players, they can actually benefit from this fund and be able to. Please, if you are listening, you are a farmer, or you have a friend who is a farmer, or you are planning to do farming, farming is not a wrong choice, especially for trees. The only way for us to create generational wealth, I think, is for you to plant the tree. And it's always said that you don't plant for you to harvest that tree. Sometimes we plant for others to reap. And that's why let us invest in fruit production, particularly citrus, because the demand is already there. We must not worry. Whether it's local, whether it's export, the opportunities are actually a lot. Mm-hmm. And hence, let us do something. Let us start now. We can start simple. We don't need to start with a big area. Start simple. We are here for you, and we are committed to train you. Obviously, the fruit development scheme encompasses a lot of activities that will also include mentorship, include training. So where you need to be capacitated, I think, will also come in. And with the subsidy that is coming on board, it's always good that you are registered and you are somewhere so that we meet you halfway. So if you don't have a tree, it's also difficult for you to benefit from the programs that are coming in or intervention. So please start simple and start now.
Mm. Thank you so much, Emily, for having you.
Thank you very much, Lois and Ego FM in general. I think you guys, you are really planting. I always said that you are planting on the radio. Okay?
All right, so thank you so
to
much.
Go to produce, and I think with having you and any other stakeholders, mm-hmm. I think we'll be able to see Namibia standing on its feet one day.
Thank you so much.
Whether it's a vegetable or fruit. Thank you
definitely
so much.
All right.
Yes.
There you have it. The time is 2 minutes in the off 7 o'clock and this early morning skip. Now, this is a live read. This May, it's time to celebrate excellence, achievement, and the future. Now, the International University of Management will proudly host its 2025 winter convocation ceremony taking place over 2 exciting days, Thursday the 22nd and Friday the 23rd May 2025 at the elegant Window Country Crab Resort. Now, with 2 graduation sessions each day, we are honoring the hard work and dedication of our incredible graduates. Now, can't make it in person? No problem. Join us from anywhere. All 4 sessions will be live streamed on the IOM Facebook page. Now, Thursday, 22 May 2025 graduation ceremony will be live on Eagle FM from 8 a.m. Now, join us in celebrating the future of Namibia, because at IOM, we are advancing knowledge and training leaders. Save the dates and tune in.
Omutiha with the Kirokaguna e Matina Omjo. Chikao Shafasa Nana Nongishifa Yai Shuike Moshiwana. Iye moyawo otaingo gotisamweni. Anagishifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro ni randitoma yoye yongishifa yoye kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende pimeneha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa letu. Moambo dengira selma kodara hetatu imu. Datu hea rihamano tano oneyaji.
Eagle FM for I.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
All right, there you have it. Now, thank you so much again for joining us. Thank you so much for that. And now to start here, or rather to move on to the next item, is that Namibia Industrial Research and Development Agency, that is NINDA, finally got into the feet by drafting its Integrated Strategic Plan 2025 to 2030 with a new leadership in place. The agency has indicated that it will produce 25,000 jobs by 2030. Now, my colleague David Schoenberg spoke to a researcher, Gabriel Iyambo, to look at the viable reality and implementation of this initiative. We might take a listen to their discussion.
David, thanks for the opportunity for inviting me to have a brief discussion on the issue of NIDA. I'm really hopeful that the new leadership which was hired now could do, maybe they will really make a turnaround on NIDA and make sure that the agency drive an industrialization agenda, and also, create industrial development in Namibia and have a positive impact on our national industrialization initiative. I mean, how can an agency like NIDA not have a strategic plan? How? It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. But I'm hopeful that with the new leadership in place now, they will make a turnaround. I mean, imagine for the last 8 years, they only made profit in 2020. It's a tragedy. So I'm optimistic that the new leadership will create 35,000 jobs. And is this viable? We have to look at different factors. For example, will now NIDA be serious? Are they going to work hard and to make sure that they will be now focusing on key drivers of job creation? You look at things like agro-processing, and food manufacturing, mining and mineral beneficiation, renewable energy, manufacturing, local production, things such as textile and garments, construction materials, so are they going to focus on these things? Are they going to face the challenges and address these challenges? If they are going to do that, it's viable. If they are going to focus on that, it's viable. You look at things like economic viability and sustainability. How are they going to create revenue and streams so that NIDA can make profit and avoid the losses that they've been making for the last 8 years? Eight solid years of making loss, and only one year you are saying that this government agency have made a profit. Now we need to have now a look at their strategic plan and scrutinize it and see how are they going to create these jobs. It's not just something on black and white and say we are going to do this. We want now to see they must explain to us how are they going to create these 35,000 jobs. For example, I can say if they can look at things like public and private partnership, where they partner with mines and farms and manufacturers, so that they can set up local processing plants. You look at things, strategies like youth skill development, where they can train youth, with the TVET, you look at things like SMEs and startups support, where they fund, youth led businesses, where, the youth can do manufacturing and agro processing, strategies for things like, foreign direct investment, whereby they attract investors into, for example, green hydrogen, mining and textile. You look at strategies such as industrial parks and, where they develop a special economic zone. Let me say, for example, in Windhoek, in Ongediva, in Shakati. So they have to do this thing only for them to create and achieve 35,000 jobs and create these jobs. Otherwise, if they are not going to do that, then it's going to be a problem. So we have to look at their strategic plan. I hope they will make it available to the Namibian nation and for us to see now how are they going to create this 35,000 jobs, and not just another dream that they are going to sell to us. You tell us you are going to create jobs, and then after 5 years, where are the jobs? There's nothing. So, can NIDA really create this 35,000 jobs? It's a two-way street. Yes, they can do it, and yes, they will face challenges. For example, if you look at green hydrogen and the oil boom that we are all happy about, if you look at that, yes, the green hydrogen and oil boom can create jobs, and NIDA can also play a role in that. You look at the private sector partnership. If NIDA really partner with the private sector, they are able to create these jobs. If they target sectors such as agriculture and manufacturing and tourism, that are labor intensive, they are able to create a lot of jobs, a lot of low and medium skill jobs that are going to help them in achieving this dream. But again, there is a lot of skepticism, and I'm convinced that if they don't tackle this, if you look at our our track record of underperformance, when you look at agencies like NIDA, it's bad, and then you have these structural issues. We have a lot of high unemployment in Namibia, and then you also have policy and government risk, whereby NIDA is quite tight. It's quite tight in bureaucracy. If you look at things like procurement, licensing, and labor laws, land access issues, these are the same problems that have affected NIDA for the past 8 years. How are they going to address this? Without addressing this, then it's official that they will not create any 35,000 jobs. They are certain, they are doomed to fail to achieve this. But we have to be hopeful. NIDA is not just another dream. The dream of creating, that hope of creating 35 jobs, it can be achieved, but there is challenges. It's a two-way street. Okay. Also, we can look at the private sector. The private sector, can really help NIDA in achieving, this aim of creating 35,000 jobs. the private sector can come in, you know, and also do some funding and investment into NIDA, you know, come in with their technical expertise, you know, help with job creation, you know, through growth. As you realize that you are making profit and the company is growing, then you are also, you end up creating more jobs. You know, help with this, the issue of speed and efficiency. You know, there's this thing in public policy which is called the new public management, whereby, you know, government agencies and government companies are aiming to operate in the same manner as private companies, you know, with efficiency and, you know, so they can really come in with that and also help with market and, you know, and the development access, whereby, you know, product designed by NIDA can have access even outside Namibia. So I therefore, in my view, think that the best way, you know, to create permanent jobs in Namibia is, you know, to look at, you know, the economy, you know, the Namibian economy, and diversify it, not just look at natural, you know, resources, you know, you are just mining and exporting. No, you know, we have to promote, you know, non-mining industry. And this is what, you know, NIDA, on the other part, supposed to do, you know, promote industrialization and not just mining. You know, we have to invest, you know, in green energy, in the renewables, you know. We have to look at our education system and, you know, we have to strengthen our education, you know, and our skill development, you know. We have to invest in vocational education and training, and not just the UNAM and NAST and IUM, you know, all these theoretical coursework. You know, we have to strengthen our education, you know, promote entrepreneurship, you know, sponsor small businesses, you know. We have to look at initiatives such as public and private partnership, you know. We have to boost our agriculture and agro-processing, you know. I look, for example, at NIDA. They are just also, when you look at their section of agriculture, they are selling grapes, you know. They are selling dates, you know. Grapes, nothing, you know, no agro-processing. We have to promote this. And also, you know, improve the business environment, you know, so that, you know, we are SME-friendly, sponsor, you know, those who want to come up with their businesses, you know, give them incentives, you know, and also develop our digital economy. I'm happy that the new government is looking at this, and we have to see. So we have to see, you know, I therefore also believe that, you know, the youth must align themselves, you know, with the ambition of NIDA. By the way, 35,000 is not is a small job. If you look at the situation with Namibia's unemployment right now, 35,000 is not, it's not a lot. We need hundreds of thousands of jobs, you know, to be created by NIDA. So the youth, you know, must align themselves, you know, with this ambition and better themselves, you know. They have to pursue relevant education and training, you know, not just go to university such as UNAM and others, but also look up at, you know, at taking courses which focuses on science, on technology, on engineering, on mathematics, you know, the TVET, you know, so that we can, they can enroll in, you know, in technical skills such as welding, mechanics, electronic engineering and plumbing, which are really key for manufacturing, you know. They're really key for manufacturing and agro-processing, and also, you know, digital skills, you know. They have to acquire industry-specific skills, you know. that need, you know, support, like manufacturing, construction, you know, export-oriented industries, you know, logistic machine operations. So they have to acquit themselves with these, you know, up their entrepreneurial skills, you know. I also believe that, you know, the youth, you know, they must embrace technology, you know, the digital platforms. You know, the world is so advanced now. We have AI. The youth also, they should focus on high demand sectors, you know, such as textile and apparel manufacturing, you know, the agro processing, the renewable energy. They also need to be, you know, they don't have to be quiet, you know. They have to engage in policy and advocacy, you know. They must join youth forums, you know. They must become industry leaders, you know. So I believe if they can capture these, if they can acquit themselves with these skills and information, they will be at a good position, you know, to get jobs when MIDA, if MIDA is supposed to, you know,
All right, there you have it. The time is 20 minutes in the hour, 7 o'clock. There is Early Morning Scoop. Now, lastly, on the on Early Morning Scoop, or the last item, is that the over 85 teams from various regions of Namibia, including Comas, Karas, Hardap, Otonzupa, Kunene, Oshikoto, Omaheke, Erongo, have participated in the Capricorn Schools Netball League. Now, on this, my colleague Sharon Seaman spoke to one of the coaches, Aaron Ipinge, from to tell more about how the game went and how the teams performed. We might take a listen to the discussion.
So as we are still continuing with our Early Morning Scoop, so as we all know that netball is a team sport where each player has a specific role, and success depends on everyone working together by participating in a great sport like netball. So children not only learn the value of teamwork, communication, and mature sports support, but also develop essential skills. So here they said over 85 teams from various regions of Namibia, including Akomas, Karas, Hardap, Otjojutjupa, Kunene, Oshikoto, Omaheke, and Erongo, have participated in this year's Capricorn Schools Netball League. So as we all know that well, they say the Capricorn Group has been sponsor of the league since 2017. So the teams from 17 public and 13 private schools have competed for the title in age categories that range from age 12 to 19. So today we are going to engage with one of the coaches, Aaron, from Young Board. Good morning, Aaron, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Okay, thank you so much. So, Aaron, here we are speaking about Netball League that took place at Pioneers Park last Friday. So, Aaron, can you please tell us, as one of the coaches of the annual Capricorn Schools Netball League, can you speak to us about how did the event went and how the teams performed?
I must say the event went very well. We had so many fun. I mean, because that time to get to that time of the year where we all teams have together again, get to engage to one another and observe the actions of the players, and time to display some good netball, time for officials and umpires to improve their skills and all that. I mean, it was super well managed and it all went well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Aaron, can you maybe, how important do you think this initiative is for the school girls and all the participants involved?
It's very much important. I mean, this is a very much, very competitive league.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is where you get to have like the most competitive teams only taking part in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Because most the schools have to send their best players, and then it's not just for everyone, because I mean, for a team to participate in this, you should be able to deliver a very competitive
display or match against others, and then, I mean, to challenge everything that is in the league. So it's very much competitive. And it also, like, getting to know how progressive is the certain team progressing with their skills and or they like how to play another team and how to get a win is from certain teams and all that. It's a very good competition.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, so I believe this is an ongoing sport, or like the teams are still, we are still expecting the sport to continue. So in terms of economic development, do you believe this will contribute positively? And if so, how do you think?
Yes, it is, because that last weekend, that was the first round, and then it gives enough time for teams to prepare again for the next round. And with Capricorn being the only sponsor involved in the league, it is well managed, because it's not taking part like every weekend where everything has to travel again to another town or city but giving enough time for teams to prepare is a very good thing, that the teams don't get to spend like most of the weekends and all that, so it's on a scheduled time.
Mm-hmm. So I heard you are one of the coaches from Young Moore. So can you maybe tell us, how did your team perform?
Our team performed very well. We have two teams in two age categories,
mm-hmm.
of which we have under 14 and under 17. We played three games over the weekend, whereby under 14 only played two games and under 17 played three games. With my team, we did well. We won all our matches. Challenges were there. I mean, but yeah, we managed to overcome, get a win from all the teams. And yeah, it was very good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My last question is, or maybe can you just tell us a little bit, or how do you convince, especially the young youth, like for them, maybe one day they might would like to take part in this sport or in this netball sport. Can you maybe try to convince them or not? What are the positive, or maybe what are the benefits like when it comes to sport, especially netball? Or especially, I heard we didn't have a lot of schools, especially from the north. How do you convince them maybe to join, or maybe next year they would want to take part in this?
To be participating in this league, you need to be very competitive, I must say, because I mean, like I said earlier, like it's not just anyone that can take part in it.
Mm-hmm.
So a team should be able to bring an A game play.
Mm-hmm.
So I must say, like in commerce, most of the schools, they are trying so hard to make sure they qualify or they participate in this league, right? So getting to the young ones that are looking out on this competitive league, you need to get your head focused on the goal. I mean, you need to work hard,
mm-hmm.
for you to be able to participate in this league. I mean, it gives them a lot of opportunities. This bag and then the socks to play with. And on top of that,
mm-hmm.
it's just where also we get to scout or get to select and select potential players that can represent the national team of which that goes now to according to the ages, like from under 14, 15, 16, 17, and 19. That this is where it starts. So coaches, as they play against each other or against other teams, they also like looking at those players, how they play, who is standing out the most, and then at the end, these players will be then invited for the national trials, of which I understand like this is as now a national league for the schools. So this is how we believe every potential player is now taking part in this league. So clearly this is the end
And so, like, where most of players should be taking part. I mean, you can't have a national player that is playing somewhere else that is a regional league. I mean, at regional leagues, there is no competition. Mm-hmm. So it's the most competitive league, and every talented player need to take part in this. So they need to work really hard to make sure they're in this league. So getting to the national team, I must say, it should be a goal and a dream for every child or girl that they're out there. You need to represent your country somewhere, but to get there, you need to work out.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much, Aaron, for being with us on the Early Morning Scoop, and I would like to say have a blessed day ahead.
All right, thank you so much.
Okay.
Amazing.
Okay.
All right.
All right, Heather, you have the time is 29 minutes in the of 7 o'clock and this early morning skip. Thank you so much. That marks the last update of the day. Thank you so much for really joining us and choosing us every day. Do not go away and please tune in to the next program and all the program today. Thank you so much. And from me, Lois Ashimi, it's a very good day. Enjoy the rest of your day.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.